So, man, you're best known for your I guess your top 50 business podcast. The No Excuses Show is good and absolute powerful and authentic personal brand.
Thank you.
I think is why we wanted to get you on the show is that you have a really genuine following.
Yeah, thank you.
You really do. I mean, when we talk about personal brands, there's kind of two ways to look at it. You can look at it as really large ones that from, you come across someone who has 50 to 100K followers and gets all the engagement and has their students and stuff. But when we talk about a genuine following, I think you're almost about to crack 7K followers and all that stuff. But really, the engagement you get and the network and industry you've built is really what has really made you a top personal brand, I believe.
Oh, thank you, bro. I appreciate you saying that. Well, like the biggest thing is I've more focused on like not the amount of people that are following, but the amount of people that are actually like engaged and that I know and that I talk with and that I can work with. And like my thing was always like, I want to know the big players. I don't really care if everybody knows who I am. I just want to be connected with the right people. And like if it was 70,000 followers where I could get connected with the big people, then I would have chased that. But I just knew, like, if I can get in front of these dudes, you know, we'll build relationships. So it was, I never really focused on the number. I just focused on, like, how many of these people actually like me? How many are actually going to engage?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, social media, there's a lot of BS on social media, man. Like,
100%.
So that's kind of what I really mainly focused on. But, yeah, man, I just wanted to build real relationships. And I feel like I did it the quickest way by not, and the most efficient and cost effective way too. Cause like I was never a dude that like, hey, I'm going to go dump $3,000 into this Loop giveaway and gain 50,000 followers when in reality, those people are probably going to go do business with me.
Yeah.
I mean, so I just focus on like, how many people can I genuinely engage and how many people can I, you know, interact with and potentially do business with?
Yeah, for sure. That's sick. So how do you go about building that connection? I think it's one thing to get in front of someone, but to then build upon that and build the foundations of, and the building blocks and provide genuine value to them. How do you go about that?
Well, I give a good example of like Drake. So like if I were to meet Drake, the rapper, I wouldn't run up to Drake and be like, oh, Drake, OMG. I'd just be like, what's up, man? Because like treat people like people. Because a lot of these guys, like I've been in networking events, different like networking parties and things. And I was at one with, are you familiar with Kevin David?
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
I was at a party with him in Nashville, and there was a couple kids there that were just like, dude, that's Kevin David.
They're bugging like, out.
Like bugging out, right? So it's just like treat them like normal people and let them know that like you're actually interested in building a genuine relationship with them. Obviously don't forget it, but like I've always been like, hey, I actually want to get to know these people. These actually seem like cool dudes that I really want to be around. So that was a good way for me to, you know, actually build big relationships is just treating them like normal people. But you also have to have a resource or something of value to even get in the room with those guys. Yeah. So like whether it's a podcast or a big business or, you know, a big personal brand or whatever it may be, you just have to find what suits you best.
Yeah.
Get really good at it, and then you'll find the way into the room with those people. You'll find your way on the stages to speak. You know, you'll just find yourself being able to do a bunch of, you know, incredible things. You just got to double down on something and get really, really good at it.
Yeah, most I think, yeah, 100%. It's funny that you mentioned that analogy. Actually, when was it? Maybe, I think it was 2 years ago. I ran into Justin Bieber.
Yeah,
and as corny as it sounds, like it's 100% true. Like I thought, you know, probably the most popular person on this earth, you know, and we run into him and it's kind of just that feeling of what do I do? Like, do I be cool? Do I try and get a record? And so, you know, I was like to him, yo, can I grab a photo with you or whatever? And, you know, he hates that. So immediately he shut me down. And his bodyguard stepped in and all that. Man, he's a short dude as well. He's a really short dude. He's a very short dude. But I think you're 100% on point with that. Is that, yeah, you just got to treat them like people and see how you can build a genuine relationship with them. 100%.
100%. Yeah, that's the most important aspect of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think spot on. So for like those who might not know your story, why don't you briefly run us through that? I know it gets done to death about what is your story and all this stuff about everyone, but just for people to give a little bit of background.
For sure, man. So basically grew up in, I was born in Springfield, Missouri, moved around a lot as a kid. I never did well in school. Like I never did well in high school. And basically ended up getting expelled in 10th grade for an array of different things, different drama and bull crap. And after that, it happened, jumped out of high school, became homeschooled, and then started doubling down on reselling rare sneakers and clothing. So I was working a job, I was homeschooled, and then I'd go home and I'd list items online, like, Yeezys. I used to get all the Yeezys. I used to have a lot of Supreme, Vape, stuff like that. And I remember just being like, I'd make one transaction and I'd make, in one transaction, what I'd make more than 4 weeks at my job. So I kind of caught on really early to like, wow, this is what I need to do. I like this. It gives me freedom. It's fun. I'm doing what I enjoy. And at the end of the day, I'm just sitting at the house and I'm making money. So I really didn't see a lot of scalability with that business. And I was also still super young. So it just wasn't, it wasn't going to be my big hit. But I kind of had an idea of like how social media worked, how e-commerce worked, how marketing worked, how to run a business online. And so that gave me a really good kickstarter into, starting a digital marketing agency, which I've been doing for about a year, year and a half now. And I learned a lot of valuable lessons. I'm glad that I had that experience of like actually learning how to run a business online. And then I was able to jump into the digital marketing world, but I just saw a lot more scalability in the digital marketing space than I did with the reselling rare sneakers and clothing. So started digital marketing my senior year in high school, started my company 99 Media. It went well. I kind of started out how every other, digital marketer that sees any success starts out. They start out with like the time intensive stuff, social media management, content creation, stuff like that. And then I figured out quickly, like, that's not a scalable model. And there's really no way to directly measure how much revenue you're bringing in. I found out very quickly that, like, you have somebody paying you $1,500 a month to manage their social media. Well, with about 2 months, if they're not seeing a direct return on investment, they're not going to want to do that anymore. So I was like, okay, what can I do? Because I would pick up clients, I'd make money, but I wouldn't retain them because there was no tangible value of it, especially because people weren't like pushing any kind of info product or anything. They were just kind of trying to be built up as an influencer. So quickly figured out like I got to find a way to drive revenue into businesses. So that's when we started, doing like a little bit of stuff with ClickFunnels and Facebook advertising, and now moving into, Instagram advertising as well, and learning all the back end stuff about that, email campaigns, and like learning how to actually sell for companies online, which is a lot less time intensive, as you know, as an agency owner. But backtracking a little bit, while I was still kind of running my, I guess you'd call it a social media management agency, I started the podcast because I wanted to connect with people. And I had seen that Casey Adams did a really good job at having his podcast and connecting with a bunch of, big time entrepreneurs. So I was like, I'm going to try this out and see what happens. So I was putting out pretty consistent content. Then I got, Ricky Gutierrez is a guy who's big over here in the States. He's a day trader, and he's got a huge following online, like massive, great personal brand. He killer. And his business partner has always followed me on Instagram from the beginning. I don't know why. I don't know how he came, got connected, but we've always kind of followed each other. So I put this video out on my Instagram story one night while I was running the podcast. Excuse me. And I was just like, it was something about Ricky. I forget exactly what I said, but it was some video that Ricky had made, and I made a quick story about it, of how it inspired me or whatever. And I saw Ricky follow me on Instagram, and he was like, "Hey man, thanks so much. I really appreciate your support, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "No problem, dude. Like, I'd really love to have you on my podcast." And he's like, "Oh, cool. Like, can I fly you out to AZ?" And I was like, "Oh, like, cool, dude. Like, let's do it." Because I live in Tennessee. He lives in Arizona. So he flew me out there, and I ended up interviewing him, his business partner, and another dude who's got a big YouTube channel named Ryan Scribner in the personal finance industry. So like from those three podcast episodes, the podcast just blew up because they all promoted it. a lot of people saw me around Ricky, and Ricky's a pretty big influence in the space. So kind of took off from there, and fast forward like 6 months later now, you know, I'm fully running the agency, and the podcast has been able to grow and scale really quickly, and it's been a great tool. So that's pretty much the basic rundown of it all.
Awesome, man. So I guess what was your intro to digital marketing? Because I guess like everyone needs an in, you know what I mean? Like we don't just wake up and go, oh, you know, this looks like a cool model. How do I make this work? What was your in? Who introduced you to it, or who did you see doing it that you were like, I can replicate this?
Yeah, 100%. So I got an opportunity from one of my cousins who's a DJ. He wanted me to manage his social media, his Facebook, and help him book more gigs. So I ended up doing that. It went pretty well. It was fun. And that's when I started to learn about like what to post, when to post, content creation, how to engage people, how to sell, how to you know, talk to people. Like I learned a lot of that stuff just because I knew the basic functionalities of social media just growing up with it. And then I wanted to really expand my knowledge because I saw some scalability with it. So I started investing into like a lot of good books about social media marketing and how much it's changed. And there's a ton of free resources on YouTube. They might not be all from one person, but if you look at the 10, you know, top 10 digital marketing, you know, YouTube channels, and you watch a few of their different videos, you'll learn a lot. So I did a lot of that. And then eventually was able to invest in a couple information products. And since then I've learned more of the tactical side and kind of scaled it up that way. But yeah, it was a pretty humble beginning. I bought a book written by, what's his name? He wrote the, I forget his name. He wrote the Ultimate Sales Letter. Henry's last name. But he had another book called like the No BS Guide to Social Media Marketing. And so I read it and I was just like, man, this is really interesting. Then I just started, you know, learning online, picking up as much information as I could. And then eventually, you know, invested it in some information products.
Most definitely. I think that's an awesome way to scale. Because there's so much free stuff out there that really, you know, if you're passionate about it and you want to make it work, like you'll find it and you'll find a way. Most definitely. I think that's cool. So I guess it's an interesting one as well in your story. You talked about, you know, you weren't that great at school and stuff. And I feel like that's a big entrepreneurial topic, is that a lot of, not every entrepreneur, but a lot of entrepreneurs aren't good at school. Why do you think that is?
I think that like a lot of us are just fully ADHD and can't really focus, especially, I mean, here's the thing, man, like entrepreneurs are the type of people that take on massive risk, massive judgment because they believe and want to do something so bad. So you have to think, when you're in school and you don't believe in what you're learning, you don't want to do it, you don't care, you'd rather be somewhere else. Like it obviously makes sense that you wouldn't do well in school because you're not going to put your best foot forward. So it's like kind of one or the other. I didn't do well in school because I didn't care. But then a year after graduating, I've now built this, you know, good sized business because I care about what I'm doing. I'm invested in it. You know, I've taken risks. A lot of them paid off. A lot of them haven't. And it's just like, I went deep because I actually cared. In school, I didn't go deep because I didn't really give a shit. So I think that's why a lot of entrepreneurs tend to struggle so much, because we're very passionate about the things that we want to do and the things that we love. But when it comes to stuff that we don't think is necessary, we don't think we need, or we don't care about, we're just kind of like, eh, I don't really care.
Yeah, most definitely. So who would you say you're like, top three, I'll try and narrow it down, your top three entrepreneurs or mentors to follow would be? Do you have like mentors around you that you look to for guidance, or are they just personalities that you follow?
Yeah, so I have a few people that I kind of seek counsel from that are local people. Not a ton, not as many as I wish I did. I learned from all my friends. Me and my business partner, we constantly learn from each other because we have a very different background, and we have a similar personality, but we're different in a lot of ways. So we tend to learn from each other a lot. Big shout out to Adam. I know he's probably listening to this. Jeremy Haynes has been somebody that I've really had the pleasure of learning from. Grant Cardone, I've watched tons of his content and learned from him. I love to read a lot of books. One of my good friends, Mike Cimarelli, I've been able to learn a lot from. Dylan Kibo, who's a really good friend I've learned from. I try to learn from everybody, man. Like,
I really do believe that you can learn from anyone and everyone. Mm. But whether that's somebody that's your friend that you see every day, or whether that's somebody that you never meet that you look at their computer screen, you can still extract the same amount of information from either source.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think that it's really important as well for everyone to remember that it's not like knowledge that will advance you, it's like applied knowledge as well. So I think 100%. That like getting information from everyone else and taking things in from all around you, from all different people and from different people and how they're running things, and then applying that to you and your situation, I think that can be learned from everyone. And that's super powerful.
Yeah, dude, 100%. I mean, action moves the needle forward. Like, learning and studying is as important as it is. It just doesn't move the needle forward. Like, listening to a podcast or reading a book, it's good to learn, but that's not taking action. Like, taking action is just doing it. So, so that a lot of us need to rewire our brains in the fact that, like, doing it is taking action. It's great to learn, but, you know, try not to get, you know, what do they call it? Analysis by paralysis. Analysis or whatever it is. Mouthful there, but you know, just people tend to study so much that they hold themselves up, and then, you know, fear and doubt builds up, and they look back 6 months later and, you know, they haven't done any of the things that they wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. Super important. So you mentioned Grant Cardone, and I know you did an awesome interview with Uncle G. And it's super insightful. He gave a lot of value on it. What's your process like setting up an interview with an A-grade player like that, and the process to try and achieve that, to set something up with someone like that?
Yeah, 100%, man. That was a long one. Like, I emailed his assistant way back when I was first starting to see success with the podcast. Mm. And she was just basically like, no. She's like, cut and dry, just like, hey, no.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, when I figured out I was going to go to 10X in Miami, Grant was doing a live stream one night, and he was like, hey, if you're going to 10X, you know, put 10X in the chat box, and I'm going to accept people in the live to come talk to me. So I just started spamming it in the chat. Yeah. And he accepted me in, and we talked for a minute, and then he was like, all right, man, thank you so much, like, I hope you enjoy 10X, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, hey, Grant, one thing, I want to have you on my podcast. I emailed your assistant a couple months back. She said no. Like, when can we do this thing? Mm. And he was like, oh, dude, I'd love to do it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, great. So I screen recorded the video of him saying yes, like, literally. Yep. Emailed it to his assistant, and I was like, hey, like, what's good? And then I just kept following up with her, following up. And then one day, out of the blue, like, I hadn't sent an email in like 2 months. Mm. She emails me and she's like, Grant is free, he'll give you 30 minutes. And I was like, all right, like, let's do it. So, and then, you know, that helped the credibility a ton. Just being able to talk with him and, you know, be around him and associate myself with him in that aspect is something that I'm super grateful for, and definitely helped me a lot. So it was a worthwhile process for sure. I'm definitely glad that I chased that one so hard.
Definitely. That's killer mentality as well. That's like a hustle mentality. The follow-up process to that, like, 100%.
I say it all the time, and I say it to Adam on my team, and I say it whether it's in, like, anything in life. Like, the worst somebody can do is just stop talking to you or block you. Like, there's no point in following up. The close is always in the follow-up. You know, not everybody's going to like you the first time they meet you, and not everybody's going to say yes the first time they meet you. So you might as well just chase it in anything that you want, whether it's business, life, relationships. Just chase it, because, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. Super cool. So what does an average day for John Danes look like?
For sure, man. I try to wake up early, but a lot of times we're just grinding all night.
Yeah.
I wake up, normally have sales calls all morning. Nothing gets me out of bed faster than the opportunity to make money.
Yeah.
So like last night, I had a call at 9 a.m. this morning. It went really well, but slept for like 4 hours. But when that alarm hits and I got sales calls, I got to roll. Yeah. So normally sales calls all morning, communicating with my team. Yeah. And I'll go get some lunch, try to eat a good lunch, try to get my stomach full. I normally skip out on breakfast, which is bad. Mm. But I try to get moving. An object in motion will stay in motion. So I try to move, go walk around, you know, run, work out, whatever it looks like that day. Try to meditate. Every day, one of my non-negotiables is self-educate for 2 to 3 hours a day. So I do it every day. Even on the weekends, I'm self-educating. Mm. And Yeah, man. I try to stay. Say it again.
What does that take form of when you say self-educate? Does that take form of you read a book for 2 to 3? Is that watching a video? Is that listening to a podcast?
It's an array of different things. So it's books, audiobooks, podcasts, courses, YouTube videos. Like that's if it's just 2 to 3 hours of those five things. Mm. So just filling my brain with information, because the day you stop learning is the day that you'll never improve. So I'm always trying to learn something new or dig deep into something else, and then just working on putting systems in place to, you know, kind of automate this business and trying to get more clients. It's basically the whole spreadsheet of the day.
Love it. Awesome, man. So when we talk about as well, might go back a little bit to the Grant Cardone and I think it's interesting in what you're doing, because Grant Cardone's a good example of this, is like old money versus new money. You know, he played in a space before pre-internet, you know, where guys like us have an opportunity to make new money, you know, in a set where, you know, suits and ties and rolling up to work every day and not being a master of your own schedule, you know, that sort of stuff and the old money that goes with that. So how do you think new money like us are having an impact on the business space in terms of kind of breaking the traditional stigma around it? You know, there's a lot of old heads in the old money space that aren't super adaptive towards how things are moving, because, you know, we get to wake up in a hoodie and track pants and go to work every day and do it very, very successfully.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think we've done a good job for the people that we've worked with have all been older than us. And I think that they've had a pretty good job of understanding us. I mean, dude, we're out of the box. Like, to be honest with you, it's not, I try not to like show it on social media all the time, but dude, I'm an offensive guy. Like, I'll say shit and then I'll be like, dude, why the hell did I just say that? Like, and to my satisfaction, everybody that we've worked with has been okay with that. But like, I think a lot of them do have a problem understanding us, because like, we're crazy, man. Like, but at the same time, I think we're really, really smart, but I think there's a lot of things that we could really, really, really improve on, because like, we still have a lot to learn. We still need to be learning from the people who have been through, you know, recessions, ups and downs, you know, learned everything. So I think that we can do a lot more learning from those people. And I think that all of us have potential with this potential to make money online. I think that like, everybody can go out and do it. They just got to stay focused. But I think it's very interesting how things are changing. And I think we're definitely causing a disruption, and people understand that. And yeah, I just think it's a new era. And I'm like you said, man, like I'm working in sweatpants and hoodie, and it's just still majorly, you know, running a very successful business. So it's just like one other thing. I was watching a thing with Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, and he was talking about, first of all, let me rewind. Yeah. You know, I was it was somebody's parents that I was sitting with a few months ago, and they said something about, you know, every business loses money within the first 5 years. Well, no, not even at all. Like that's just, I think that we've caused a lot of disruptions, and we're in our first full fiscal year, and you know, we've crushed this year. For the first fiscal year, we've crushed it. So like, I think that there's a lot of preconceived notions for whatever reason, because of this old school business, and we're changing the way things are done, that I think people don't fully get a grasp or understand, which makes sense. Like my grandfather was an entrepreneur who owned restaurants, and he failed miserably. So like, it's hard for him to understand that his 20-year-old grandson, you know, and I love him to death, but in 1 year has had more success than he had in 14. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. So I think a lot of people don't understand it. So like, I think that we're getting to understand them more, and they're getting to understand us more. And I think only time will tell how the relationship plays out, but I think it looks pretty good for us.
Yeah, most definitely. So, all right, so let's move more towards the personal branding side of stuff. If you could instill some knowledge into those at the moment trying to build a personal brand, looking back at your journey, what would you say the best way to go about that may be?
have a tangible place to drive traffic. I've changed my views on this.
Yeah.
And I've retracted a lot of the statements that I've made in the past.
Yeah.
I think that if a personal brand, I think it's awesome. But I think if it's where you get 100% of your business from, you're at a huge risk. Okay. So like, for example, I'm not going to say his name, but about 2 weeks ago, one of the biggest e-commerce dudes busted. Like, he's done forever. Scammed a bunch of people. Yeah. And from his businesses, you know, you probably know what I'm talking about. From his businesses, you know, all of his businesses and all the wealth he created and the money he made, he sold 100% of it through his personal brand. That's a dated fact because it was all information products. It was these SaaS companies that he drove traffic to from his personal brand. So he really, 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 really screwed himself because that was the number one way he generated money. So like, there's clients that we work with or people that we prospect and they don't even know about the podcast. They don't even know about the dozens of articles that I've been featured in or the a lot of podcasts that I've interviewed on. Like, a lot of them don't give a shit. They want to know, hey, can you make me money? Yes or no. So like, I think personal branding is awesome, but I think you need to build something real. Don't just rely on your personal brand to say, hey, I'm going to launch a 60-day personal branding accelerator after I've grown my Instagram. Like, I just don't think that's a good business model. And I think a lot of times people build up their personal brand and they get in a bad spot where they need money and then they push some mediocre product and then ruin their reputation. Wow. So I think that like you should build, say it again.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's so true because like a lot of people just go, oh, I'm going to just build my personal brand. And I think there's a difference because it's either you're an influencer or you're a personal brand because a personal brand drives, you have previous results. You know what I mean? Like
right.
We have a business to back it on to give us leverage in our personal brand that we can then right. monetize. But at the end of the day, your personal brand isn't saleable. If you want to make an exit, like you can't, that's you, man.
100%. So it's definitely not anything that you want to mess up. And it's something you want to tread lightly with because you know, your digital footprint is, it's going to be there forever. You know, people don't forget about shit. Like everything pops up quick. People get in trouble. So like guard your personal brand with your life. Like don't do dumb things is one of the biggest things. And just have a real business that you can actually work on and document and then share the lessons that you're learning in your business through your personal brand. Like there's so many kids, man, and God bless them, but they're on social media. They have their personal brand. They might have a podcast that's had a little bit of success. They have no businesses, none, zero. Yeah. And they're talking about success advice.
Yeah.
Like it just, it's not, it doesn't make any sense. Like you know, I want, that's why the people that have been massively successful and then jump into the personal branding stuff tend to grow really fast. Like one of the guys that we're working with, one of our clients right now is a guy named Judge Graham. I just interviewed him the other day.
Yeah.
He sold one of his agencies for, it's Jeremy Haynes' mentor.
Yeah.
So he's like my grandfather mentor. Yeah. So he sold one of his agencies for 8 figures, the other one for 9. He just got on social like last year and he's blowing up right now because he has all the credibility. He has tangible lessons to share. He's a legit dude. He actually has stuff that's of value. You know, like anytime I put out a piece of content, I'm like, hey, if I saw this 6 months ago, would I learn anything from this?
Yeah.
Like that should be your outlook, is actually spreading real value from things that you've actually done. And you know, just do that. Like I think a lot of people get so confused with this whole personal branding thing and they think that it's the quickest way to become successful, but it can also be your quickest, you know, fall to demise if you don't actually put out tangible information about the things that you're doing in what should be your business. Like personal branding shouldn't be your only business is the conclusion of it, but you can definitely build a good one and you can definitely, you know, do a lot of good things with it.
Yeah.
But you just gotta be careful. You gotta be smart, be authentic, be yourself and just work hard. Like I know what I was going to say. For example, like I wouldn't spend time creating my own website. Mm. Like that's just, if I had a personal brand, and it doesn't even really make sense because like if personal branding is your only thing and you have a job or, you know, you're working at like a grocery store, you're working at a fast food restaurant. Well, I hate to say this, but first of all, you're a hypocrite because you're working a job and you're telling people about being successful. Number one. Yeah. Number two, like there's so much time and energy exertion. Like it's actually difficult to build a quality personal brand. Like
it takes time to create good content. It takes time to build a quality website. Like, you're taking time out to build this facade that you could be delegating to actually building a real and successful business.
Yeah.
And then once you build that successful business, you can pay people to build your website. Yeah. You can pay people to create your content, and you'll actually have valuable information to share. So that would be my kind of 2 cents on personal branding.
Yeah, I love it. So true. Authenticity, man, is huge. Yeah, especially when building a personal brand, especially. It's like, I think that's all so true. Huge knowledge right there. I want to talk to you about a concept as well that we've coined, emotional equity. Because I think it's an awesome term that really, really describes a key element in building a personal brand. So I guess it's pretty self-explanatory in building emotional equity with your audience. What would you say the best way to do that is, and how you've gone about it?
Relatability. Like, Dan Fleischman put out a video the other day, and it, you know, people want to watch somebody online that reminds them of themselves. The reason I like Grant Cardone so much is because, although he has, you know, built this crazy thing and he's got a pretty rough past and so on and so forth, I like to watch him because he reminds me of me. Like, we're similar. We have a lot of the same characteristics. So if you can be a relatable person, and like, positioning is incredibly important. Yeah. It is incredibly important to make yourself look like an authoritative figure online. Like, that goes without saying. But also, there's no problem with saying, hey, I failed at this, I messed up. Because so many of these people, they position themselves so high and like they're such an authority figure that people almost think that they're arrogant when listening to them. Yeah. So like, be okay with documenting your failures. Remind your audience that, like, hey, my results aren't typical. You know, like, everybody's at a different stage in their journey. And I would say, connect with people like on an individual level. Like, don't just respond to people's comments. Like, respond to your DMs and talk to people and engage with people and see how you can help people, because it's going to bring you a lot of opportunities, and you're going to seem like the person who's not just this guy online who thinks he's the man.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's spot on. I know Jeremy talks about it a lot, where especially in some more behind the scenes strategy of building your personal brand, is you want to make yourself so relatable that, because people can only see, what does he say? People can only see one level or two levels above them. And so if you're out of reach of that, of where they see themselves, then you're unrelatable to them. They're not going to be able to relate to you.
Exactly. 100, you hit the nail on the head with that, bro. It's just like, people want to look at somebody bigger than them, but they also want to see a piece of themselves in that person that they're watching. So I think that when you're relatable and you share the bad stories, the struggles and the problems you've had, people are like, wow, this is actually a legit guy. And it improves your credibility too, because if I'm watching somebody who just literally looks so perfect, like they've never made a mistake, I instantly don't trust them.
Yeah.
So it makes you relatable to your audience. It makes you trustworthy. Just be yourself.
Yeah, for sure. So what are some like behind the scenes strategies, I guess, you can use to build it? Someone sitting at home and, you know, I want to make this different, in the sense that we give practical value and practical knowledge, in the sense that these are what the top guys are doing and this is how you do it. In terms of like even posting content and creating content, what are your thoughts and strategies behind that?
So I actually have somebody that creates all my content for me. It's the same person that does all our creatives and stuff for our clients. He just does it from my business partner too. Mm. But like, do Canva, you can make sick shit on Canva. Like, you can make good quality content on Canva if you're building up and you don't necessarily, it doesn't make sense to pay somebody to do it. But like, I would say just collaborate as much as you can, get around authority figures, and then leverage the credibility of getting around them to get to the next guy. Like, for example, this is might be a weird example, but like, there's like 5 of my friends that you could be like, hey, I just jammed this podcast with John. Like, what's up? He told me that I should interview you. Mm-hmm. Like, there's 5 people that could command a lot of authority and get you a lot of new traffic just by being like, yo, I just did this with John. So leverage credibility, find what's going to be your break-in point to get around influential people, find how you can collaborate. If it's a podcast, I think podcast is personally the best medium to do that on.
Yeah.
or just coming out the gate like super successful? Like if you just break out and you're like, hey, I did 8 figures in e-commerce last year. You know, I think podcast is the best way to collaborate and get around influential individuals and then have them promote your brand for you. Cause like it takes a lot of time for you to do this, and I appreciate you having me on. So like out of respect, I'm going to promote this and you're going to get new traffic. Mm. And that's how about 90% of the guests that come on this are going to be. So leveraging the credibility, in turn, I call it like hijacking people's audiences. Yeah. You know, just go out and, you know, get around or try to get around as many influencers as you can or personal brands or big entrepreneurs as you can, and then see who their circle is. Like just start picking them off and get that credibility.
Yeah, most definitely. I think it's huge. It's an abrupt term, and I used it in a meeting the other day. We're pitching to a very large coffee company here in Melbourne. And we were looking along the lines of hijacking authority, you know, and hijacking authority figures around that as part of a strategy. And I think it's so powerful in being able to associate yourself and build that credibility to back up your authenticity, I guess.
100%, dude, 100%. Like Jeremy Haynes, like one of the best things he could ever do for himself is when he's like worked for Grant Cardone for 13 months.
Yeah.
When I came in, he was making X. When I left, he was making Y. Like that right there just is an attention grabber. Like that, you know, that's helped Jeremy, I would say, almost as much as it's helped Grant. Like Jeremy went in, worked with one of the biggest personal brands in the world, and then started a business out of it and had the authority because he associated himself and worked with somebody who's highly influential in the space. Mm. So that authority hijacking, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's really, really valuable.
Yeah, most definitely. What are your plans for the future, John? Where do you see yourself heading?
Yeah, man, to the moon, bro. Yeah. Now I'm playing. I really like building businesses. I love the startup world. I love marketing. I like business, bro. Like, I think a lot of people are just like, hey, I just want to make a bunch of money and I want to try this thing out. And then hopefully
You like the hustle, man. You like the whole process before you achieve.
Yeah, 100%, bro. I am just genuinely interested and love business. Like, I'll be like, oh, wow, like Slack IPO today. Like, stuff like that's really interesting to me. And I'm a nerd in that aspect.
Yeah.
And I'm not just like, hey, you know, I'm going to sell this company and then I'm going to go chill on a beach. Like, I don't want to blow my brains out. So, like,
yeah,
I would say that I want to just keep starting businesses, keep learning about marketing, keep, you know, and keep scaling my agency. That's the number one and the only focus right now, to be honest with you, is just scaling the agency. But I think there's a lot of good things in the future and a lot to be learned still, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, most definitely. And you've been featured in a lot of publications.
Yeah.
Do you want to mention what they were and then how that came about?
Yeah, 100%. So I kind of figured out pretty early that PR and press was a fast track to get verified on social media. So yeah. I just found different outlets and different people that were able to, you know, get me on some different business publications. So I was like, okay, well, let's see what this is about. And a lot of people wanted to cover the story of like the podcast and how I interviewed Grant Cardone. And my business partner is a great writer and has contributorship for a lot of publications. So he was kind enough to cover some stories on me, but I think it's a good thing, man. Like any way you can build your digital footprint, because I had somebody swipe up on my story the other day because I posted like, I'm doing like a Google takeover on my name right now. Like I'm trying to.
I saw that. You type in John Daines, bang, 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 bang. Yeah,
that's the goal. And this guy slid up on my story and was like, hey man, why is this so important? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, when we reach out to somebody and they see at the end of that email, my name, first thing they're going to do is look me up. Like the first thing they're going to do is be like, who the hell is this John Daines dude? Yeah. Like, you know, it's your social media, especially if you're a digital marketer, internet marketer, your social media and your digital footprint is literally your resume. Like if I can look credible in the eyes of the people that are going to want to work with me and going to want to follow me and support me on my journey, I'll do anything to make that happen. You know what I mean? So it's just the credibility and just the publicity. Like I'll never say no to publicity. Like seriously, just as more people that can know me and know what I'm trying to achieve, it's always going to help.
Yeah. So much. Awesome, man. Awesome. I think you've given us some awesome value. To sum it all up. Awesome. Awesome work. Is there anything else you wanted to mention before we let you go and get back to hustling?
Nah, dude, I think that's it. Thank you so much for having me. Seriously, man, I really appreciate you doing this.
I appreciate it so much.